Good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. I want to read it again real quick. Starting in verse 21 of Matthew 5, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the utmost farthing." Out of these verses, I hope that we understand that Christianity is more than simply understanding theology. Christianity is a religion of the heart. Matthew 5 and verse 20. "But I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Many of us, I believe, know that under the old covenant, under the law of Moses, the religion was a physical, outward religion. But Christianity is different. Christianity is a religion from inside. It's not a religion measured only by external compliance. You know, we don't have a checklist. Well, I've done this today, so I don't have to worry about that again, and I'll do this one tomorrow, and we'll take care of that. You know, we cannot go down a list and expect to make heaven. Christianity is an internal surrender. And I believe that that brings us to the topic of anger. A man who is seething with anger and malice on the inside, but on the outside he doesn't show anger at all, that man or woman fails to meet the expectations of Jesus. Many people are good at hiding their anger, but yet underneath they're seething. You know, they may have a smile and pleasance on their face, but when they're alone, they show great anger, hatred. This morning I would like for us to examine the dangers of anger and how perhaps we can manage it. God gives us a warning about uncontrolled anger. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. Be ye angry. You know, right here the Bible tells us that it's not wrong to be angry, but it is wrong if we let that anger cause us to sin. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Why do you suppose it's a good idea to not let the sun go down on our anger? Everyone here, I believe, truly knows the reason or the answer to this. It is simply because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We may go to sleep at night and not wake up in this physical life ever again. It's always good to take care of whatever issues we are facing during the day to a conclusion before we close our eyes in sleep. Husbands and wives, it's never good to go to bed angry with one another. I'm human, and yes, sometimes that's happened. It shouldn't. And I have regretted it, and I've apologized to my wife for that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. If we allow our anger to go when we go to sleep, what happens the next morning when you wake up? Are you not still angry? Psalms chapter 4 and verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. And in the King James Bible, you'll see the word at the end of that verse, Selah. It is a Hebrew technical term. It's not part of the canon, but it is a technical term that literally has the idea of to pause, to suspend, literally to think about what was just said. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Think about that. Think about the day. Have you lived a faithful life that day? Have you become angry over something or someone? Have you taken care of the issue? You remember what we read here in Matthew chapter 5? If you come to the altar with your gift, and then you realize that a brother has aught with you, has a problem with you, you need to go take care of that first. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart. Make sure when you close your eyes and sleep that you've made the best that you can, the best day that you can make. And then promise yourself to do better the next day. Psalms 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I've told this little story before because I think it applies. It's about a first grade little boy who comes home every day crying because there's a bully that's picking on him. Every day when he goes to school, he tries to avoid him, but the bully always finds him. And his mom told him one day, "Son, why don't you find something to compliment him on?" So the next day, the bully found him. And before the bully could start in, he looked down and he told the young, the bully, "Boy, you sure tie your shoes good." And it stopped the bully. And they became friends. A soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. Grievous, hurtful, painful words. Many times we fail to realize how hurtful and painful our words can be. You all remember the old saying, don't you? Words cut deeper than a knife. I believe that we need to really understand that. That what we say many times has lasting consequences. We can drive someone away from Christ with one word. Families have been torn apart because of anger, because of words that were spoken. Many times it's not what we say so much as it is how we say it. I'm sure you've all heard the phrase, "Well, I did not mean it to sound like that." How many times have we went off on something that someone has said or what someone's done, and they turn and they're instantly angry because of how we said what we said. And we say, "I didn't mean to make it sound like that." Proverbs 14, verse 29. "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." Hasty, impatient. Have we ever become impatient when something takes place? Someone says something, someone does something, and we become impatient, we become angry, we become upset. "He that is slow to wrath," that word there, wrath, literally has the idea of anger. "He that is slow to anger is of great understanding," because you know that anger is not going to solve the problem. It's not going to change the situation. That's why Jesus says to be angry and sin not. When we truly understand that our anger is not going to change the situation, then it's easy for us to not become angry. Now, yes, I understand. Many times we will become angry. But do we allow that anger to turn into perhaps hatred? Proverbs 29, verse 11. "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." Now, brothers and sisters, this is not talking about someone saying something to you and you become angry on the inside and you go home and you let it out. That's not what it's talking about. "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." What's James tell us? Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. A fool uttereth all his mind without regard, without understanding. But a wise man is slow to speak. He wants to get all the facts before he opens his mouth. The old saying, I would rather be seen as a fool than open my mouth and remove all doubt. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Pretty much self-explanatory. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Then we see Proverbs 22 and verse 24. No friendship with an angry man. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Furious. Venom. Poison. And a furious man thou shalt not... Do you like to be around people who are always angry? Always seem to be upset about something? Never content? Every time you try to brighten the mood up, it's doom and gloom. Remember Eeyore? Come on, y'all know Winnie the Pooh. Eeyore? He always had a bad outlook. It's a beautiful day, Eeyore. Well, it's going to rain, I think. The problem is too many times that's the attitude we have. Make no friendship with an angry man, because that anger could possibly be turned towards you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Now notice here. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, anger. It's a work of the flesh. Paul tells us that wrath or anger, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, if you are holding anger, you have a problem. Now, I'm not talking about becoming angry and then taking care of that anger before it turns into something more. This is the type of anger that eats at your soul. So how do we overcome? How do we overcome uncontrolled anger? Well, first of all, I believe that we need to realize that anger hurts yourself and others. What did Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21 say? The works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication. We can go on, wrath, anger. Who do these things, adultery? Who does that harm? And the other person, but yourself. What about fornication? Same thing. Uncleanliness. Who does that hurt? It hurts yourself. Lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. Who do they hurt? They hurt yourself, and it hurts others. We need to grow in the discipline of self-control. James chapter 1, 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. We need to grow in the discipline of self-control. Have you ever heard someone say, control yourself? We used to say that to our children, didn't we? When they were misbehaving or doing something that was going to either harm themselves or harm somebody else. Young lady, young man, you need to control yourself. Too many times anger becomes so great that they lose all ability of control. How do you believe murder happens? Because of anger, hatred, not able to control themselves. And we can go on. Wrath, anger. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Yep. Soft answers turn away wrath. But grievous words, furious words, stir up anger. You all heard the expression, well, I know you all have heard it, and I just forgot it. Speak softly, but carry a big stick. Is that how Christians ought to be? We need to speak softly. We need to speak words of comfort. We need to speak words of understanding. We need to basically choose our words and our battles wisely. Proverbs 26, verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer not a fool according to his folly. But many times we fall into that trap, do we not? We get caught up. And before long, you're not able to tell who's the fool. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, who, when he was reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to the judgment that judgeth righteously. This is talking about Christ. When he was reviled, he didn't lash out. Too many times we're so quick in wanting to put our side out there that we're not listening. He suffered, but he threatened not. Should not this be us? When people do us wrong, should we want to get back at them? Or as Christ, when we're wronged, accept it and go on? When we're threatened, not to threaten ourselves? Romans 8:29, last verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, you know, the sad thing is many times this verse is so misapplied, it's ridiculous. But when we look at this verse, when we are wronged, let God take care of it. When we're threatened, let God take care of it. Yeah, you know, we may suffer. We may even lose our life. But yet, God will take care of it. God's in control. Let us remember that. Don't allow anger to destroy your relationships here on this earth. Don't allow anger to destroy your influence for Jesus. And don't allow your anger to rob you of your heavenly home. Let's begin, or let's continue working out and strengthening our spirits by not allowing anger to possess us and rule our life. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, Jesus came to this earth, he died on the cross, he shed his blood so that you might have the forgiveness of sin. And you can have that forgiveness by obeying the gospel, being baptized and having your sins washed away. Or if you're here and already a child